അന്യാഭിലാഷിതാ ശൂന്യം ജ്ഞാനകർമാദ്യനാവൃതം ആനുകൂല്യേന കൃഷ്ണാനുശീലനം ഭക്തിരുത്തമ. സോ ഉത്തമ ഭക്തി ഈസ് ഡിഫൈൻഡ് ആസ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ദീസ് ഫോർ ക്യാരക്ടറിസ്റ്റിക്സ്. വൺ ഇസ് അന്യാഭിലാഷിതാ ശൂന്യം ജ്ഞാനകർമാദ്യനാവൃതം ആനുകൂല്യേന കൃഷ്ണാനുശീലനം ഭക്തിരുത്തമ. സോ വി വിൽ ബി മോസ്റ്റ്ലി വി വിൽ ട്രൈ ടു കോൺസെൻട്രേറ്റ് on the second aspect, which is Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. So we will, even though we could discuss about the other three aspects also, but we will mostly try to focus on this one aspect as discussed by our acharyas. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, what is the kind of jnana that is mentioned here? Jnana here refers to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and other such knowledge, right? So basically the Jnana Shastras, this is not talking about Mayavad. Mayavad is out and out wrong. Even a Jnana Yogi should not be following the Mayavad teachings, right? So here we are not talking about Mayavad, here we are talking about Jnana Shastras. So the Jnana Shastras mostly emphasize on the Jnana Shastras mostly emphasize on the oneness of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? The qualitative oneness. But in reality, even qualitatively, the soul is not completely similar to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only a very generic description. So qualitatively, actually Krishna has 64 qualities. The jivas have only 50 qualities in minute quantity. So the 14 qualities which are there in Krishna are not there even in minute quantities in the jiva. So the jiva is not in one sense even qualitatively one completely with the Supreme Lord. So you can say, compared to, because there are only three entities, the jiva, prakriti and Ishvara, jiva is more similar to Ishvara than prakriti. For that purpose you can say that there is qualitative oneness. But qualitatively, the jiva is not completely one with the Supreme Lord at all. So, while the jnanis may emphasize and meditate on this aspect of qualitative oneness, but practicing devotees, we understand it as sambandha jnana, but our meditation is on those extraordinary qualities possessed by Krishna, so that it inspires us to serve Him. Right? So, that is the purpose. So if we over meditate on the qualitative oneness, then it will kill our service attitude. So therefore, that kind of knowledge which can act as an obstacle to our service attitude towards Krishna, that knowledge is what is it covering bhakti, and that should be given up. Right? And then what kind of karma are we talking about? By karma, he refers to nitya naimittika karma. And not, it does not talk about actions related to serving the Lord. So nitya karma means our daily activities like Trikala Sandhya, like that. And naimittika karma are periodic activities. So periodic activities are like Shraddha, which we may perform once in a while, once in a year, like that. So, and what is the meaning of Adi? Adi refers to Vairagya, Sankhya, Yoga, etc. Such things which may obstruct pure bhakti. Of course, that does not mean whoever is doing yoga is actually practicing mixed devotional service. The point is that we may practice yoga, but if he thinks that, oh, yoga is helping me, oh, he is not performing pranayam. Like, say for example, if we are performing pranayam and it is helping our japa, concentration on japa. So we may see someone else not performing pranayam, so we may start thinking, oh, he must be doing spaced out japa or like that. So which means we are over generalizing a principle which is not necessarily a limb of bhakti, and we are thinking that it may help one maintain one's own body and mind, but it is not necessary that it is universally true, right? Especially if it is not emphasized by our acharyas. So, Then the question arises, if bhakti has to be devoid of the influence of jnana and karma, then why not call it jnana karmadi shunyam? Why call it jnana karmadi anavritam? Call it just jnana karma shunyam. The problem is that then jnana shunyam would actually exclude literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which are also presented in the form of knowledge only, right? And karma shunyam would exclude activities like archanam, kirtanam, which are also activities only, right? Therefore, it is jnana karmadi anavritam. So, therefore, this definition prohibits only those kinds of karma and jnana that will cover bhakti, and it does not talk about that kind of karma and jnana which are actually favorable for our cultivation of devotional service. Therefore, it is anavritam and not shunyam. Okay. So, there are three places within Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where Srila Rupa Goswami talks about the role of varnashram duties in a sadhaka's life. Right? First is, like what we discussed, in discussing the definition of pure devotional service. He discusses that how, in discussing jnana karmadi anavritam, he indicates that our practice of bhakti should not be covered by karma. Karma here, he refers to varnashram duties. Okay? Nitya naimittika karmas are the duties which have been prescribed by the Dharma Shastras according to one's varna and ashrama. Right? Now, the second place where he discusses about this is while prescribing what are the duties expected of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. So, in the section on Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he defines what are the duties expected of a Vaidhi Sadhaka. What should he do? What should he not do? Okay, so but before that we should understand what is the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Because after hearing this we may tell that, oh, anyway I don't even have the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So we should understand what is the qualification for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Yak kenapi atibhagyena jata shraddhosya sevane nati sakto na vairagya bhagasyam adhikaryasau. He says, Yaha jata shraddha. So one who has developed faith in what? Asya sevane, in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How does one develop this faith? He says, kenapi atibhagyena. Kenapi atibhagyena means somehow or other from previous association with devotees. Okay. So by previous association with devotees, one may accumulate what is called as Agyata Sukriti. And by Agyata Sukriti, when it accumulates, it leads to what is called as Shraddha. So, in the Shastras, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes that this is just like your blackboard, you can see. Okay, so what is this? What is the meaning of Shraddha, faith? So faith means four aspects. Faith in the association of devotees, that these are the people with whom I would like to spend the rest of my life. So that is one aspect of faith. The second aspect of faith is faith in the books. Faith in the Bhakti Shastras. Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. So faith in the Bhagavat Shastras or the Bhakti Shastras one should have. This is the second aspect. And the third is faith in the process. What is the means of my progress? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. This is the third aspect of faith. And the fourth aspect of faith is faith in the parampara. So this parampara, starting from Krishna, Brahmaji, Vyasadev, and ending with Srila Prabhupada and his followers. This parampara is not here to cheat me, they are here to deliver me back home, back to God. So having this faith. So that is the meaning of faith. And this faith develops through association of devotees and accumulation of Ajnata Sukriti. Right? So one who has this faith, he is qualified for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So the next point that he mentions is that there are three kinds of people who are qualified for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. I am not going into detail because I am just laying the foundation for the subject matter that we are going to discuss. So so he says there are three categories of people, or three levels of people who are qualified for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, who all possess this kind of Shraddha. First he says is Uttamadhikari. So Uttamadhikari means Shastre Yuktaucha Nipuna Sarvata Dridanaschaya Prauda Shraddhodhikari Yaha Sabhaktav Uttamomata. So he says Shastre Yuktaucha Nipuna. So one is very expert in Shastra and Shastra Yukti. So Shastra Yukti means a kind of logic that is based on Shastras, the conclusions of Shastras, right? And Sarvata Dridanischaya, and his faith is, he has complete firm belief, which means he knows what is the Sambandha, what is Prayojana, and what is Abhideya, what is to be followed, what is the goal. He has firm belief in that. And Prauda Shraddhodhikariyaha. Prauda Shraddha means a very deep faith. So a very deep faith, this indicates actually realization. So this person could be either on the platform of at least Nishta. Because that is, he is talking about realized faith. So he would be at least on the platform of Nishta. And a Madhyamadhikari, yes, Shastradishu Anipuna Shraddhavan Satu Madhyama. So a Madhyamadhikari, he may not be as conversant in the conclusions of the scriptures. Actually, he is conversant with the conclusions of the scriptures, but not so much with the details. And he may not be able to establish very firmly the conclusions by quoting Shastric proofs. So, but he is Shraddhavan. He is firm in his conviction. Satu Madhyama. He is a Madhyamadhikari. And then Kanishtadhikari, he says, Yobavet Komala Shraddha Sa Kanishto Nigadyate. So he's talking about one who has very weak faith. Yobavet Komala Shraddha. So Komala Shraddha means very weak faith. Because of even less knowledge of scriptures than the Madhyamadhikari, Sa Kanishto Nigadyate. He is called a Kanishtadhikari. Right? So Srila Jiva Goswami writes, the person's faith is just conviction in the meaning of the scriptures. So basically, a Kanishtadhikari, his faith is Prabhuji, a Bhagavad Gita hai na, ekdam sahi shastra hai. Theek hai, kya bola hai usme, that he may not know. So he may know very basic things. Krishna is Purna Purushottam Bhagavan, that much. But he may not be able to substantiate it by quoting verses. What exactly does Bhagavad Gita say? First chapter kya, second chapter kya? You may not know all those things. But he has some generic faith that because these people are living their lives based on these scriptures and they are living quality life, so therefore these scriptures must be perfect scriptures. That much faith he has. Without knowing much about what the scriptures themselves contain, the contents of the scriptures. Right? So therefore he is Anipuna. Anipuna means having very little knowledge. And he is having weak faith. Weak faith means what? It is possible to break his faith by different scriptural reasoning. So if someone else comes and gives some scriptural reasoning, he may say, Shiva Puran says, and he may quote certain things, or he may, you know what this Manusmriti says, and they may quote, and you are not following these things. He may say, "Acha, are ye mujhe pata hi nahi tha." So he may get completely shaken. But even then, other persons using scriptural logic can defeat a person with tender faith. However, the person is not completely unconvinced, because in that case, that person would not even be considered a devotee. So, very momentarily, his faith may get shaken, but then later he thinks, the shastras that my Guru Maharaj quoted, I have not studied those shastras also. And the shastras which this person is quoting, I have not studied those shastras also. So anyway, both are giving very seemingly valid arguments based on shastras. Now, who is more trustworthy? Should I trust my spiritual master, or should I trust this person? So he says, "Oh, definitely my spiritual master seems to be more trustworthy. So let me just accept his conclusions." So that kind of acceptance, yes. So he does not eventually give up practice of devotional service. If he gives up, then he cannot even be considered as a Kanishta Adhikari. So Kanishta Adhikari has very weak faith, but has sufficient faith to not completely give up the process. He may momentarily give it up for a while, but again, using proper discrimination, he would again start practicing. So weak faith means temporary unsteadiness of the heart when defeated by strong materialistic opponents. Later, the person regains faith in what the guru has taught by his own judgment. Right? This is Jiva Goswami. Commenting on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So basically, for those who came little late, so what we are discussing right now is what is the role of Varnashram duties in a practicing sadhaka's life. So this is based on Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Bhagavad Gita. So, today what we are going to do is we are going to lay the foundation, and in order to understand what could Prabhupada have meant when he wanted that 50% of my job is incomplete. So, I am not going to give an answer for this. I think there are many people who are working on that. But at least we can try to see what our acharyas have written, so that we can try to understand what Prabhupada might want based on the recommendations of our own shastras and our own previous acharyas. So that is what we are trying to do. So we will try to do. So what we have discussed till now is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We discussed the first episode where Srila Rupa Goswami talks about Varnashram duties, which is right at the beginning when discussing the definition of pure devotional service. In explaining what is the meaning of Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, he says that our practice of bhakti should not be covered by Nitya Naimittika Karmas, which is Varnashram duties, as described in the Dharma Shastras. Then second place and the most emphatic place where he discusses about the role of Varnashram duties is just before discussing the 64 limbs. He discusses what are the duties expected of a qualified practitioner of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. If you are a Vaidhi Sadhaka, what does the parampara expect you to do and what it expects you not to do? So this is the section we are going to discuss now. So for that, we are discussing what is the qualification for bhakti. We saw Shraddha. And he says there are three kinds of adhikaris who possess the Shraddha: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. So someone who possesses Komala Shraddha, very, very weak, pliable faith, also falls within the category of Shraddhavan, who is qualified for practicing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So now, when Rupa Goswami is going to discuss the duties expected of a qualified practitioner of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, he is going to discuss this for both for the Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, all three of them. Right? So what are the duties? So first, in the commentary, Srila Jiva Goswami presents the Purva Paksha. So Purva Paksha means the opposing argument. The opponents of this so opponents of pure devotional service, they may present this argument. What is the argument? It has been established that bhakti should be without other desires, anya bilashita shunyam. That has already been discussed. And it has also been shown that all humans, regardless of social position, are qualified for this type of bhakti. So this was also established in one of the topics before. There is no material disqualification for practice of bhakti. Kirata honandra pulinda pulkasha abira shumba yavanaha kasadaya yenyecha papa yadapa shreya shreya shudyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. So he very clearly explains that anyone who may be within varnashram, out of varnashram, everyone is qualified to practice bhakti. And in fact he says, nrumatrasya adhikarita. As long as he is a human being, he is qualified to practice bhakti. Just that he should possess this shraddha. Even though that shraddha may be komala shraddha, doesn't matter. But he should possess that shraddha. But now, isn't there a problem with this? What is the problem? He says, if all people who are qualified for bhakti start neglecting their varnashram duties, then isn't it sinful? Because the Shastras definitely say, Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, karmanyevadikaraste ma faleshu kadachana ma karma fala heturbur ma te sangostva karmani. He says, O Arjuna, you are entitled to perform your prescribed duties, varnashram prescribed duties, and don't be attached to enjoying the fruits, and don't be attached to not performing your prescribed duties also. Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharmo sunashtitat swadharmehi nidanam shreyah paradharmo bayavah. He says, see, you better do your own prescribed duty incompletely than trying to perform someone else's prescribed duty properly. So in many such verses, he establishes the importance of performing one's varnashram duties and the dangers of neglecting to perform one's own varnashram duties and the dangers of trying to perform someone else's varnashram duties. And clearly it is mentioned that if you neglect your varnashram duties, it is sinful. So now Jiva Goswami is telling that the Purva Paksha may say, look, when the scriptures are so clear about it, then you are telling that Shuddha Bhakti should be Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, it should not be covered by Nitya Naimittika Karmas. So now, if they neglect their Nitya Naimittika Karmas, will it not be sinful? So, if they do not perform their prescribed duties and simply perform Bhakti, all people will be engaged in sinful activity. Right? So, that being the case, how can they become pure if they are sinful? Should they perform some kind of atonements? So this is the Purva Paksha, which is presented by Srila Jiva Goswami in this section, in his commentary. So let's see. Srila Rupa Goswami gives this very, very important verse. This is going to be the focus of our full discussion. No, this is ours compiled by Rupa Goswami. Ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate na karmanam akaranat esha bhakti adhikarinam nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tu na uchitam iti vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. So he says, so four things he mentions. Ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate. Bhakti anganam ananushtanato. By non-performance of the essential angas of bhakti, doshaha prajayate. It leads to dosha. This is the first point he says. Na karmanam akaranad. So karmanam akaranad na doshaha prajayate. There is no fault at neglecting to perform one's duties of varnandashrama. This is the second point he is mentioning. Esha bhakti adhikarinam. So this is meant for those who are qualified for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Nishiddha acharato daivad. If somehow or other, due to past influence, if one performs forbidden activities, Nishiddha Acharan. He says, Prayaschittam tu na uchitam. He should not be engaged in performing karmakandiya prayaschitta. Like for example, we may be undergoing some physical ailments or mental ailments. Someone may approach an astrologer and they may ask, what should I do? And he may give various kinds of prescriptions, you know, Kala Sarpa Dosha or, you know, Narayana Nagabali, whatever. So if one thinks that my suffering is due to that, and by performing these kind of activities, one will overcome my suffering, then he says that this is not right. This is not for Bhakti Adhikari. Nishiddha Acharato Daivat Prayaschittam Tu Na Uchitam Iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, I'm going to go over the translation also, Prabhuji, in the next slide. So, Iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is the opinion of those who have understood the conclusions of Vaishnava Shastras. So, translation. Again, I will go through the translation. Esha Bhakti Adhikarinam. One who is qualified for Bhakti. Doshaha Prajayate. He is at fault. Bhakti Anganam Akaranat. For failing to perform all the important limbs of Bhakti. So, the important limbs of Bhakti means first 20 limbs plus last 5 limbs. First 20 limbs are set by Srila Rupa Goswami to be the door to Bhakti. Last 5 limbs are the most potent limbs, right? Bhagavat Shravan, Nama Sankirtan, Vaishnava Seva, Shrimurtir, Shraddhaya Sevan, and Damvas, right? So, Na Karmanam Akaranad, but he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of Varna and Ashrama. So, this is the second point that he says. Right? Daivat, if by chance, Nishiddha Acharato, if he happens to commit some sin, Prayaschittam tu na uchitam, there is no atonement prescribed for him. No atonement, the word atonement, Prayaschitta, here refers to Guru nam cha lagu nam cha guru ni cha lagu ni cha Prayaschittani papa nam gyatvoktani manishibihi. So, the kind of Prayaschitta that is prescribed in the Dharma Shastras, meant for persons who have karma adhikar. So your suffering is due to this kind of sinful activity, so you should perform this Prayaschitta to overcome this sinful activity like that. Iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidamatam. This is the opinion of those who know the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. So now, Ananushtanato. Oh, actually this should be Bhakti Anganam Ananushtanato. By not performing, I repeated Akaranat twice, but Akaranat has the same meaning of Ananushtanato. So it should be Ananushtanato here actually. So, here Srila Jiva Goswami comments, it is a fault if those qualified for bhakti fail to perform the required angas of bhakti, such as observance of Ekadashi or Janmashtami. So the first 20 and last 5, these 25 are said to be the non-negotiable limbs of bhakti. There is no scope for negotiation here. The remaining 39 limbs are secondary in the sense that when you have to choose between a primary limb and a secondary limb, because only one you can perform, you should choose a primary limb in that sense. So it is not a fault if they do not perform Varnashram activities. If they commit forbidden acts because of the influence of previous Vaishnava Parad, atonement is not required. Atonement, of course, here means definitely not that the person is not regretful. So he is definitely... He feels very regretful, but at the same time, he does not try to resort to negate it by performing the karmakandya recommendations. Right? Since these pure devotees do not have a natural tendency for sinful activities, which means according to their faith, they don't perform sinful activities impelled by their faith. That is the meaning. Bhakti alone acts as atonement. This is the conclusion of the Vaishnava scriptures. Right? So, further he clarifies, there is no fault if a person does not perform all the 64 angas of bhakti. He may not be able to perform all the 64 angas. The essential angas are the first 20 and the last 5. That is chanting, hearing Bhagavatam, association with devotees, living in a holy place and deity worship. So these 5 are the essential limbs. These 5 plus the first 20. So they are non-negotiable and they cannot be neglected. So to summarize, first point that he says is, he is at fault for failing to perform the essential angas of bhakti. So now you have to remember these 4 points, because we will be going through some proofs that Srila Rupa Goswami gives, and we will see how these 4 essential points are being proved by quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, first 20 and last 5. So he is at fault for failing to perform the essential angas of bhakti. He is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. If he commits a forbidden activity, he need not perform the karmakandiya prayaschitta. And the 4th point, for such a person, bhakti alone acts as his atonement. So these are the 4 points, right? So now, what does it mean to not perform varnashram duties? Is a devotee irresponsible or ungrateful? What does it really mean to not perform varnashram duties? Right? Did Arjuna really follow the instruction of Sarvadharman Parityajya? Because at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's ultimate instruction for Arjuna was Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashuchah. But interestingly, after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna did fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So which means he did not give up his Varna Dharma. And after the battlefield, he did take care of his family also. And the kingdom also, which means his ashrama dharma also, he did not give up. So now, did Arjuna really follow the instructions of Sarvadharman Parityaja? This is a very important point which we need to understand. So, basically, did Krishna want Arjuna to give up all his varnashram duties? Is that what Krishna wanted him to do? Or was it a clarion call for a change of paradigm? Did he want him to act on a different paradigm altogether? Did he ask him to give up particular duties when he said Sarvadharman Parityajya? Or did he want him to change his paradigm of functioning? So this is the point that we will try to understand. In the second verse of Manas Siksha, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Na dharmam na dharmam Shruti gana niruktam kilakuru vraje radha krishna prachura paricharyamihatanu shachi sonum nandishwara pati sutatve guruvaram mukunda preshtatve smara paramajasram nanumana. So we will only concentrate on the first 2 lines of this verse. He says basically, Na dharmam kuru. Do not perform dharma, he says. Which dharma? Shruti gana niruktam dharma. That which the shastras talk about dharma according to one's varna and ashrama. He says, don't do. And then he says, na adharmam kuru. Don't perform forbidden activities also. Now this is little strange, because if you don't do dharma, then automatically it is considered as adharma only. So if you say, how is it parallelly possible to perform, to reject dharma and reject adharma? Because the moment you reject dharma, automatically you are committing adharma, right? So in the next line he clarifies, Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharya Mihatanu. So rather you engage in performing profuse service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. Right? So this is the instruction he is giving. So basically, you can say that there are three categories of people. Right? You can say the materialist, the karma yogi, and the bhakti yogi. So karma yogi, within that category, you can put jnana yogi, you can put ashtanga yogi, all of them would fall within that category. With slight modification, we can explain their activities. So basically, if you see, the nature of mind is to accept and reject, sankalpa vikalpa, or sankalpa and varjanam, right? So a materialist also accepts things, accepts circumstances, rejects things, rejects circumstances, rejects people, right? So what is the basis of his acceptance and rejection? He says, raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. Whatever he likes, he will accept. Whatever he dislikes, he will reject. So that is the paradigm of functioning of an out and out materialist. And what is the pramana for this? Self. His own anubhuti. His own experience. So based on his own experience, right, he will accept whatever he likes and he will reject whatever he dislikes. Now, a person qualified for karma yoga, what is the basis of his accepting and rejecting things? Dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. Whatever is prescribed according to my varna and ashrama as dharma, I will accept it. And whatever is prohibited according to my varna and ashrama, I will reject. Now, what is the basis of this? What is the pramana for this? The Dharma Shastras. So the Dharma Shastras are those literatures like Manusmriti, which prescribe particular activities, particular occupational duties according to one's varna and ashrama. So if you belong to this varna, this ashrama, these are the yajnas you need to perform. These are the yajnas which you cannot perform. And the details of all those yajnas, and accepted occupations under normal conditions, accepted occupations under apatkalin paristhiti or emergency situations, and even under emergency situations, which are the occupations which you cannot perform. All those details are given in the Dharma Shastras like Manusmriti. So his pramana or his basis of acceptance and rejection are the Dharma Shastras. Now for a bhakti yogi, he also accepts and rejects things. On what basis? Anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. Whatever is favorable for his practice of bhakti, he will accept. And whatever is unfavorable, he will reject. And what is the pramana? The bhakti shastras. Right? Whatever, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our Abhideya Grantha is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Especially. Right? At least the first 19 chapters do talk in detail about what is expected of practicing Vaidhi Sadhakas. Even though the major part of the book is talking about Bhakti Rasa, which is elevated subject matter, but the initial chapters do describe in quite detail about the duties expected of a practicing Vaidhi Sadhaka also. Right? That's what we are discussing right now. So, a Bhakti Yogi, he accepts and rejects things, circumstances, objects based on the principle of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So now, if you see, those of you who might have studied Venn diagrams, right, set theory. So, you can imagine that this is the Varnashram circle, someone who has Karmanishta. So, he is on this circle, and someone who has Bhakti Nishta is on this circle, right? So generally, if you see, this person is working on the principle of dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam, and this person is acting on the principle of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. But in terms of activities, if you see, there is some overlap in terms of the activities performed. A intersection B. Right? So this section, if you see, There are, in terms of activities, there are some, there is some overlapping. For example, taking a bath is not one of the 64 limbs of devotional service, right? But a person at the in the platform of Varnashram also takes bath. Devotee also takes bath, but this bathing is not directly enhancing his remembrance of Krishna. But if he takes bath, it keeps his body disease free and it keeps his mind fresh. So with a fresh mind and a disease-free body, one can favorably perform devotional service. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Chaitanya Shikshamrit, he calls these kinds of activities as secondary principles of devotional service. These are all principles of devotional service only, right? And if you see, like parents taking care of their children, someone may say, "Oh, this is Pita Dharma or Matru Dharma. This is the Dharma of parents." But a devotee can take care of his children, his or her children, with a desire to give them a very favorable devotional experience so that they will be inspired to take up to bhakti. So in that sense, because that activity is performed in the mode of Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam, it is not considered as an Varnashram activity, but it is considered as a devotional activity only. Like many, many years back, in this was shared by Premlila Mataji in one of her Vyas Puja offerings. So once, many, during the early days when Mataji was cooking in Radha Gopinath DT kitchen, cooking for their lordships, and Maharaj happened to pass through that area. So, but that was the time when her son was very, very young, Madhav. So, Maharaj asked, "What are you doing here?" And Mataji was very surprised. She thought it should be quite obvious, right? What would you do in a DT kitchen? "Maharaj, I am cooking for Radha Gopinath. I'm performing devotional service," like that. So Maharaj said, "From today, I am your service authorities. From today, I am changing your devotional service. From today, you stay at home and take care of Madhav. That is your devotional service." So like that, Maharaj mentioned. So the point is that it is not the activity itself which defines whether that particular activity falls within Varnashram or Bhakti. It is actually under what paradigm that activity is performed, right? In fact, if you see, there is a significant overlap. There could be overlap of activities between activities performed by a materialist, a person who falls within Varnashram, and a person who is practicing Bhakti also, right? For example, you can, let's take the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Ekalavya also fought on the battlefield. Okay? And dharmic kings like you can say Bhurishravas, they also fought, right? And people like Arjuna also fought on the battlefield. All three fought. Activity is same, you see. This is the activity. A intersection, B intersection, C. Activity is same. But Ekalavya was not a Kshatriya. It was not his Varnashram duty to fight. At the same time, he was probably not a devotee also. I don't know. Maybe he was. But definitely, he was not. Definitely. He was not a devotee. Krishna killed him, right? So therefore, Ekalavya's fighting was on the platform of Raga Sankalpo Dveshavarjanam. Right? Accept what. So he was basically fighting because he liked fighting. And he was quite good at it also. Right? But Bhurishravas and other such dharmic kings, they were fighting on the principle of Dharmasya Sankalpo Adharmasya Varjanam. It is my Kshatriya duty to fight on a dharmic battlefield. Hatova Prapsasi Swargam Jitvava Bokshase Mahim. If I die on a dharmic battlefield, I will go to Swarga. If I win, I will get to enjoy. So in that mood. And Arjuna fought or the Pandavas fought. Why? Because Krishna wanted them to fight. Right? This is what Prabhupada so many times in his writings and in his classes he mentions, that Arjuna did not want to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, but he eventually fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many types of, many commentaries to Bhagavad Gita, interestingly. He wrote his own commentary. He wrote one commentary to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, which he called as Rasikaranjan commentary. Then he wrote another commentary to Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentary, which he called as Vidvat Ranjan commentary. Then apart from that, he translated Madhvacharya's commentary, Ramanujacharya's commentary. So like 5-6 commentaries he actually wrote. I mean, apart from performing all his, you know, magisterial activities. So in the introduction to Rasikaranjan commentary, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are two categories of people who study Bhagavad Gita. He says, the first category people are the ones who may understand the meaning on a little bit of superficial way. And the second category people are the ones who understand the meaning, the deeper meaning of Bhagavad Gita. And then he says, he gives the example of Arjuna fighting on the battlefield, interestingly. He says, the first category people, when they read Mahabharata and see that after hearing the whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna chose to fight on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they conclude that the essential teaching of Bhagavad Gita is fight or perform your varnashram duties. Karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. That is the conclusion of those who have superficial understanding. Then he says, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, those with deeper understanding, they are not happy with such a conclusion, he says. They conclude that Arjuna fought with a desire to please Krishna. So when Prabhupada says that, it is directly in line with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's conclusions. Right? So therefore, he says that, in that introduction, he discusses about these two paradigms of dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam and anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So these are the two paradigms in which, you know, dharmic people who have qualification for, who have karmanishta, they act on that platform. But those who have bhaktinishta, they act on the platform of anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. So the previous Venn diagram that I showed as having an overlap between varnashram and bhakti activities, in reality, if you see, actually it's a much bigger overlap. In one sense, in terms of activities, there is a big overlap between what falls within the category of bhakti and varnashrama. Because varnashrama is also based on pleasing Krishna, right? Varnashrama acharvata purushena parappuman Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tattoshakaranam samsiddhir haritoshanam, right? So even those who fall within varnashram, they are engaged in shravanam kirtanam ityadi apart from performing their varnashram duties, right? And those who are engaged in bhakti are definitely engaged in haritoshanam, samsiddhir haritoshanam, but through shravanam kirtanam only, right? So in reality, if you see, there is a significant overlap in terms of activities which might fall within the category of varnashram and bhakti. But there are some portions which may not overlap. Like for example, this section which falls only within varnashram and not within the realm of bhakti. Here, there would be, particular yajnas which are recommended according to particular varna and ashrama, and which may involve some offerings to demigods and things like that. Worshipping the pitrus as during Shraddha period, and those kind of things which may not fall within the category of bhakti. And those which fall within this category, only bhakti and not varnashram, those are activities which may be nishiddha karma according to the dharma shastras, but one may perform because it is favorable for bhakti. Like say, for example, Gaurang Prabhu gives the example of one of his friends who shaving when he was, you were shaving someone, Vrajvihari Prabhu, and someone came and saw, and he was shocked that how is it that he's shaving, he's supposed to be a brahmana. So according to proper varnashram prescriptions, only a shudra is supposed to serve, shave, right? Of course, serve also, paricharya yatmakam karma. So therefore, there could be certain activities which may not be according to one's varna, but one may perform because it is anukul for bhakti. So in that way, there are two small portions which may not overlap, right? But in general, most, when it comes to activities, the activities may overlap, but then the two people performing the same activities may be performing them at two completely different paradigms. So it is the paradigm change that Krishna is requesting Arjuna to make, in one sense. And of course, that might require wanting to change certain activities also. But the prime focus is not in the activities, but in actually the paradigm change. So now, we should understand what is the basis of Varnashram system. What is the prime basis of Varnashram system? What is it? Haritoshanam, in one sense, the center of it, right? For one's own gain, of course. But ultimately, if one does not worship Vishnu, it is not even considered Varnashram, in one sense, right? Atappumbir dvijashreshta Varnashrama vibhagasha swanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. This verse says that the perfection of performing one's Varnashram duties is if Lord Hari is pleased, right? Dharma swanushtitappumsam vishvaksena katasuyaha notpadayed yadiratim shramaye vahi kevalam. So dharma swanushtita. So when a person perfectly performs his Varnashram duties, but in fact there's a very interesting way in which Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur explains this verse. He says, perfectly executed Varnashram dharma, because it cannot generate Vishvaksena Katasu Rati, therefore it is Shama Evai Kevalam. Of course, Prabhupada explains it in a slightly different way. Prabhupada says, if Varnashram duties do not generate Vishvaksena Katasurati, then Shramayavai Kevalam. But Vishnu Jagadakur says, because Varnashram duties do not generate Vishvaksena Katasurati, therefore Shramayavai Kevalam. Like that. Slight difference. Yeah, I mean, at least in terms of words, it is slight difference. So, now, if you take Varnashram system, I'm not sure. Okay, maybe you're able to see it. So, if you see, so this is, if you can imagine Varnashram to be a disc, Varnashram system to be a disc, the center of that disc is Vishnu worship. Practically everyone within the Varnashram system, they worship Vishnu. The central disc, the golden disc, if you see, that is the disc of pure devotional service. Okay? And then there is a middle disc, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Vishnu Jagadakur calls as Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. So Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means where the bhakti element is predominant and the Karma Jnana Yoga element is secondary. Right? So within this falls Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti and Yoga Mishra Bhakti, where Karma Jnana and Yoga are secondary but bhakti is predominant. Okay? And there is this peripheral line, peripheral disc, which is called as Gunibhuta Bhakti. So in Gunibhuta Bhakti comes Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. Right? So in which Jnana, Karma and Yoga are primary and Bhakti plays a secondary role. But if you see, all these seven categories of people, they worship Vishnu. There is worship of Vishnu in all of them. ఇఫ్ దే డోంట్ వర్షిప్ విష్ణు, దే యేషాం పురుషం సాక్షాత్ ఆత్మ ప్రభవం ఈశ్వరం న భజంతి అవజానంతి స్థానాత్ భ్రష్టాత్ పతంత్యదః. సో దే ఫాల్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ది సిస్టమ్ ఆఫ్ వర్ణాశ్రమం. సో ఎవ్రీవన్ హ్యాస్ టు వర్షిప్ విష్ణు. సో ఆన్ ద బేసిస్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిపింగ్ విష్ణు, ఆన్ దట్ బేసిస్ దే ఆల్ ఫాల్ విదిన్ వర్ణాశ్రమం. ఓకే, నౌ ద మెయిన్ క్వశ్చన్ దట్ కమ్స్ ఈస్ డూ ది శాస్త్రాస్ రికమెండ్ దట్ ఎవ్రీవన్ విదిన్ దిస్ వర్ణాశ్రమ సిస్టమ్ పర్ఫామ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ డ్యూటీస్ యాజ్ ప్రిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఇన్ ది ధర్మశాస్త్రాస్, రైట్? The Dharma Shastras talk about, oh, this is your Varna, so these are your duties, these are the occupations that you can perform, right? So, amongst these seven categories of people, according to the recommendation of the Shastras, which are the categories who should be performing their Varnashram duties, and which are the categories who need not perform, and which are the categories who should not be performing? This needs to be understood. So, according to the Dharma Shastras, which out of the seven categories, who are the ones who cannot give up their Varnashram duties, who are the ones who need not perform, and who are the ones who should not be performing? Or is there some category? Because someone may say, where is this question? If you fall within Varnashram system, you are supposed to follow the duties. Where is the question of not following, need not follow, should not follow? Where does that question arise at all? Right? So let's see, we will not go elsewhere, we will try to see from Bhagavad Gita only. What does Bhagavad Gita say? What about a Jnana Yogi, or you can say a Jnana Mishra Bhakta? Right? Is he expected to perform his Varnashram duties? Nay, of course, Jnana Yogi is Bhakti Mishra Jnana, but I am including Jnana Mishra Bhakti also here. A Jnana Yogi and a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, are they expected to perform Varnashram duties? So, Bhagavad Gita says, Yastu Atmarati Revasyad Atma Triptascha Manava Atmanyevai Santushto Tasya Karyamna Vidyate. So, he says, Yastu Atmarati Revasyad, if he is Atmarati, which means if he is attracted to Atma and not things of this world, Atma Triptaha, if he is completely satisfied in Atma and not by things of this world, Atmanyevai Santushta, and he is completely satisfied with Atma and nothing else. So these three are the qualifications of a Jnana Yogi. Atmarati, Atmatripta, Atmanyevai Santushto. So Bhagavad Gita says, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate. He need not perform any Varnashram duties. Right? And then, in the very next verse, he says, Naiva tasya kritenartho na kriteneha kaschana nachasya sarva bhuteshu kaschid artha vyapashrayaha. He says, a karma yogi, a jnana yogi, he does not gain anything by performing varnashram duties. He does not lose anything by non-performance of varnashram duties. In fact, for him, nothing is there in this world which is worthy of pursuing to fulfill his desires. Because that which is his desire cannot be fulfilled within this world. So, if you see, in the case of a Sakama Karma Yogi, he performs Varnashram. If he performs Varnashram duties, what does he gain? Piety. The currency is piety. If he does not perform, what does he gain? Sin. Right? A Nishkama Karma Yogi, if he performs Varnashram duties, what does he gain? Purification of heart. If he does not perform, what does he gain? Sin. It is sinful also. And at the same time, purification will also not happen. Okay? And a Jnana Yogi, what does he gain by performing Varnashram duties? Nothing. What does he lose by non-performance? Nothing. Right? Of course, we will discuss about Ashtanga Yogis little later. And Bhakti Yogi also we will see. Okay? So, definitely, according to Bhagavad Gita, it says that a Jnana Yogi need not perform. Right? What about the Ashtanga Yogi? Where in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna talk about? Of course, 6th chapter, but which verse? Of course, this includes Ashtanga Yogi and the Yoga Mishra Bhakta. Yeah. Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karmakarana Muchate Yoga Rudasyata Seva Shamakarana Muchate. Like that, right? So, there are two stages of practicing yoga. Yoga Rurukshu, right? Yoga Rurukshu. So, Yoga Rurukshu, it goes from Yama to Yama Niyama Asana Pranayama and Pratyahara. Yama to Pratyahara is Yoga Rurukshu. And Yoga Ruda is Dharana to Samadhi. And liberation also, of course. Right? So, Krishna says, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karmakarana Muchyate. For a person who is at the Yoga Rurukshu initial stages of practice of yoga, the means of perfection is performing karma. But if he comes to the Yoga Ruda stage, then he should be giving it up. Because while performing meditation on the Paramatma, he cannot think, oh, it is time for my Trikala Sandhya. Right? Because he is performing a more important activity of meditating on the Paramatma. So he cannot stop it to perform his Varnashram duties. So in the later stages, when one reaches the stage of Yoga Ruda, when the complete purification of heart happens, one need not perform at the Ashtanga Yoga stage also. Right? Now, what about the Bhakti Yogi? Should he perform or not? What does Bhagavad Gita say? And where does he? Where does Krishna say? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Right? So giving up all dharma, surrender to me alone, I will deliver you from all sins. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Right? So, if you see, in this Varnashram disc, okay, only 3 and 6 should always perform. Varnashram duties. Okay. So the Karma Mishra Bhakta, also by performing Karma Mishra Bhakti, if he becomes a Jnana Mishra Bhakta, at that time he should give it up. The Karma Yogi also, if he continues to perform, by performance of Varnashram duties, his heart, when it becomes purified, and if he eventually becomes a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, at that stage he should also give it up. Right? Whereas, the Jnana Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Yogi, the Yoga Mishra Bhakta, Ashtanga Yogi, in the later stages, and the practicing pure devotee, all of them, even according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, they are not expected to perform the Varnashrama duties according to the Dharma Shastras. It is not an expectation. Right? So now, before even trying to discuss whether we should perform or not, the question is, what does one gain by performing? That is very important to understand. Right? What is the purpose of Varnashram duties? Otherwise, we can keep on discussing we should not, we should not. But the question is, first, have we understood the purpose? What does one gain by performance of Varnashram duty? So we will try to discuss this from the commentaries of Baldev Vidya Bhushan, Prabhupada and Vishnachakaya Thakur from Bhagavad Gita. So in the Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter 2nd verse, what is the 2nd chapter 2nd verse? Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarijushtam asvargyam akirtikaram Arjuna. So in that commentary, Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan writes, he says, the Lord explains that this renunciation of fighting does not lead to liberation, swarga or fame. It is not practiced by those aspiring for liberation because those who are Arya practice their designated duties for purification of the heart. So the purpose of performing varnashram duties is to purify the heart of materialistic inclinations. Right? Prabhupada writes in the purport of Bhagavad Gita 3.4. What is 3.4? Na karmana manarambhan naishkarmyam purushoshnate nacha sanyasana deva siddhim sam. Maybe, but it is in that section only. No. That is fifth. Yeah. Anyway, so he says, the renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of the prescribed form of duties. Now, what is this renounced order? What is this renounced order that Prabhupada is talking about? Karma sannyas. So, karma sannyas is what is called as jnana yoga. The platform of jnana yoga is actually karma sannyas. Okay? So the renounced order of life can be accepted when one has been purified by the discharge of prescribed form of duties which are laid down just to purify the hearts of materialistic men. So when these prescribed duties, varnashram prescribed duties are performed in a detached way, it leads to purification of heart. Right? Without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, that is sannyas. It is not possible. Okay? This is what Prabhupada says. And again, in 3.8 purport, what is 3.8? Niyatam kuru karmatvam karma jayohi akarmanaha sharira yatra pichate na prasidyed akarmanaha. So he says, Prabhupada says, work should not be given up capriciously without purification of material propensities. Work here refers to varnashram duties or nishkama karma yoga. Right? Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity to lord it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Right? Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. So if the propensity to lord it over and enjoy is not gone, one cannot give up one's varnashram prescribed duties. So the purpose is purification, right? Now, Baldev Vidya Bhushan in the commentary to... Work means nishkama karma yoga. Varnashram duties only here. Which one? Activity, but here, of course, because sakama karma yoga does not purify the heart. Na? We are talking about work that would purify the heart. Sakama karma yoga will give piety, but it cannot purify the heart. So in that way, based on the context, we understand here work refers to nishkama karma yoga. So that work which purifies. Right? So, 18.66 purport Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan says, now, if you are a Sanishta Bhakta, who is a Sanishta Bhakta? Sanishta Bhakta is one who gradually elevates himself from Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga, Jnana Yoga to Ashtanga Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, and so on, like to liberation, like that. So that is a Sanishta Bhakta. He says, if you are a Sanishta Bhakta, you perform dharma for purification of the heart. If you are a Parinishtita Bhakta, so Parinishtita Bhakta is a sadhaka. Sadhaka who has the necessity to set the example for others. Right? So if you are a Parinishtita Bhakta, you perform dharmas to teach others. Performance of dharma is required for these two types of bhakti. Right? So now, the question is, how would a bhakti yogi's heart be purified if he neglects his varnashram duties? Because clearly it is mentioned that if you are lording over propensity and propensity to enjoy in this material world is not gone, you cannot give up your varnashram prescribed duties. So now, a sadhaka's heart, especially before nishta, is it freed from the propensity to enjoy? No. Then how is his heart going to be purified? Right? So that's what Rupa Goswami says, Klesha Agni. So when he talks about the six benefits of bhakti, the first benefit of bhakti that he says is kleshagni, right? So klesha means suffering, gna means to destroy. Kleshagni means that by practice of bhakti once, suffering is destroyed. So what is suffering? He says, prarabdha karma, aprarabdha karma, suffering in this lifetime, suffering in future lifetimes, that is definitely destroyed. But just destroying prarabdha and aprarabdha karma is not sufficient, right? One's sinful desires and sinful vasanas should also be destroyed, right? Bijam and avidya. So bijam refers to material desire. Avidya refers to the sinful vasanas. Karmashayam graditam utgratayanti santa, right? So he very systematically establishes that how practice of bhakti destroys not only prarabdha karma and aprarabdha karma, but it destroys one's sinful desires and sinful vasanas also. Right? So a practicing sadhaka is not dependent on performance of varnashram duties for purification of heart. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says. Right? Cheto darpanam arjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvapanam. So cheto darpanam arjanam means what? Purification of heart. Right? Purification of heart. Heart is purified of what? The lording over mentality, the desire to enjoy in this material world, the anarthas and all that. Right? And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this verse comes after Apichet Suduracharo. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashyati. He says, very quickly he becomes a righteous person. Who becomes? Sudurachari. So the Suduracharo Ananya Bhakta becomes purified. And O Arjuna, you go and boldly declare that my devotee shall never perish. So in the explanation, we will end today's session with the after reading the commentary of Srila Vishnu Jagadakur and Prabhupada. Right? And tomorrow we will continue this from where we left. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur presents the Purva Paksha first. The Purva Paksha argument. So, someone may ask Krishna, Ray, you are telling Sadureva Samantavya Samyak Vavasito Isaha. But how can you accept the worship of a sinful person? How can you eat the food and drink offered by a heart that is contaminated with lust and anger? Are you going to accept the food offered by this devotee whose heart is filled with lust and anger? How is it possible? So Krishna says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma, very quickly he becomes righteous. Here, Vishnu Jagadakur comments, the present tense is used and not the future tense. He says bhavishyati. He says bhavati and not bhavishyati. Which means present tense. He quickly becomes, not he would quickly become in the future. He does not say that. So the present tense is used and not the future to express the fact that having committed sin, by remembering the Lord, he becomes repentant and thus very quickly becomes righteous. So that repentance and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead leads to very quick cleansing of heart, and he very quickly progresses in the direction of complete cleansing. So he thinks, oh, how unfortunate I am. There is no one as low as I bringing bad name to the devotees. Like that he feels very repentant. Repeatedly he feels complete disgust for those actions. He feels very, very disgusted. Or the use of the present tense can indicate that in the future he will develop righteousness fully, but even now, right now it exists in a very subtle form. Right? Subtle form means what? In future, he will completely be purified, but currently also, on the platform of his conviction and faith, he knows that I should not be indulging in these activities, I should be giving it up. And he might be praying also to Krishna to remove those obstacles. Right? So, this subtle form is that conviction on the level of Shraddha. After taking medicine, though the destructive effects of fever or poison remains for some time, it is not considered seriously. So, let's say if someone has some symptoms of fever during non-COVID time. Okay. So if someone approaches Prananath Krishna Prabhu, he will say, he may put the thermometer in the mouth and check, oh, 102, here, take this paracetamol. So, our Nitai Jatane Prabhu may ask, are kayega to, theek ho jayega? He says, yes. So he puts the medicine, drinks the water, and he asks Prananath Krishna Prabhu, abhi thermometer dalo mo pe. Dekhega to abhi bhi 102 hi dikh raha hai. So he will say, अरे वेट फॉर सम टाइम, दो घंटा के बाद तो देखो. सो इट विल टेक इट्स ओन टाइम टू प्यूरिफाई, राइट. सो सिमिलरली ही सेज दैट अनर्थ निवृत्ति टेक्स इट्स ओन टाइम, राइट. एक देशवर्तिनी, बहुदेशवर्तिनी, प्रायिकी, पूर्ण, आत्यंतिकी, लाइक दैट इट हैपन्स इन ग्रेजुअल स्टेजेस. सो लाइक प्रभुपाद सेज, डोंट क्रिटिसाइज अ डर्टी पर्सन हु इज स्टैंडिंग बिलो द शवर, राइट. सो ही इज डर्टी, नो डाउट, आई कैन सी दैट, बट the process that he is following is capable of purifying him, right. Thus, with the entrance of bhakti in his mind, the sinful actions are not taken seriously. And the traces of sin, such as lust and anger, should be considered insignificant, like the biting of a toothless snake. Thus, he attains complete cessation of lust and anger permanently. This means that even during the stage of having the tendency to commit sin, he has a pure heart. So the pure heart again indicates his Shraddha. Right. Now, the Purva Paksha person is not completely happy. So he is presenting another argument. So he says, look Krishna, I understand your point. If that person eventually becomes righteous, I accept your proposal. But you know what? Sometimes I see these people, till the end of their lives, till they die, the sinful tendency does not go away. If a devotee is sinful right up till his death, then what is his position? So Krishna says, the Lord, affectionate to his devotees, then speaks loudly with a little anger. O son of Kunti, my devotee is not destroyed. At the time of death, he does not fall. Which means, if according to his sinful activities, if according to law of karma, he is fit to take birth as an animal or a hellish birth, he will neither go to hell nor get a hellish birth. He will get a human body from where he can continue his practice of devotional service. Right? But arguers with harsh tongues will not respect this. Krishna then encourages the worried, lamenting Arjuna. O Kaunteya, going to the squabbling assembly with a tumultuous sound of drums, throwing your hands in air, you should fearlessly declare this. Declare what? Declare that my devotee, the devotee of the Supreme Lord, even though committing sin, does not perish but rather reaches success. Not because of committing sin, but because of practice of bhakti. Right. So, Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan also comments on this. He says, but one who exclusively worships me is purified of his incidental sinful acts by me, the Lord of all beings, who am most purifying because I hold the devotee in my mind. He then very quickly becomes steady in proper conduct. Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Continually repenting his previous acts, he attains complete cessation of all sinful acts which are obstacles to remembering me. He says, the smarthas will not consider such a person proper if he has not performed atonement rites. Where has he performed the karmakandiya prayaschitta? The smarthas will ask. Controlled by attraction to his devotee, the Lord then replies with a slight anger. O son of Kunti, going to that assembly of smarthas, declare, my exclusive devotee, if he commits sinful acts out of negligence, is not destroyed. He does not become separated from me and attain misfortune. Rather, purified by me, who am most purifying, he shines with qualification to attain me. And he quotes this verse. Swapadamulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hari pareshaha vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hridisannivishta. So one who worships me with ananya bhakti, somehow or other, if he performs some forbidden act, I, being situated within his heart, purifies that person like that. So, and then we'll end with the last two slides where Srila Prabhupada also talks on this point. Srila Prabhupada says, generally a devotee who is engaged in the nine kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart and all his sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. So, of course, continuous thinking may not be necessarily possible for a person whose heart is contaminated by lust, anger, envy, greed, right? Like as Smartavya Satatam Vishnor Vismartavyo Na Jatuchit Sarve Vidinishedyasyur Eteyor Evakinkara. Interestingly, this proof, this is a verse which is quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu as a proof for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. But in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Smartavya Satatam is not possible only, at least in the early stages. So, Srila Jiva Goswami clarifies. He says, Satatam means daily to start with. And then, Dhyayans Tuvams Tasya Yashastri Sandhyam. Then, you make it 3 times a day and then 16 rounds. Like that, gradually you increase. So, what is the meaning of Satatam for a sadhaka? Okay. So, we will just, if you, this is a, assume this is a pie chart, okay. Now, you can divide a devotee's, a sadhaka's activities into 3 categories. 1, 2, and 3, okay. So, 1 means where he is engaged in activities of pure devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. Right? Category 2 is when he is planning to enhance his practice of pure devotional service. So 1 is he is engaged directly. 2 is when he is planning to enhance his current practice of pure devotional service. And the 3rd is firefighting. Dealing with the obstacles which may come in line with his regular practice of pure devotional service. Like lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, pride, desire for name, fame, glorification. So, while being beaten up by them, trying to get up and move from 3 to 2 or 3 to 1. You know, that is what is called as firefighting. So, satatam for a Vaidhi Sadhaka is 1 plus 2 plus 3. So, if he is engaged in 1 or 2 or 3, it is satatam. And the symptom of progress is when 1 and 2 increases and 3 decreases. The lesser he has to do firefighting, that is a symptom of progress. Right? So therefore, when Prabhupada says continuous thinking is possible only at the stage of bhava. Mayyeva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya niveshishyasi mayyeva taurdvam na samshaya. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic process to purify himself. So he is talking about prayaschitta. But here there is no such condition because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. So we are currently discussing the theme of if the devotee neglects his varnashram duties, how will his heart get purified? So the point is bhakti itself purifies. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. So, to summarize, again, we will recollect the 4 points. So, a person qualified for Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, he is at fault for failing to perform the essential limbs of bhakti. He is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of Varna and Ashrama. If he commits a forbidden activity, he need not perform the Karmakandiya Prayaschitta. And for such a person, bhakti alone acts as his atonement. So, tomorrow, when we continue, we will we will discuss from Srila Rupa Goswami's proofs that he gives for substantiating these points, and we will also try to understand if this is the case, then what could Prabhupada have meant when he said 50% of my mission is incomplete, which is establishing the Varnashram Dharma. So that we will discuss tomorrow. So 8 o'clock sharp, so please try to come on time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. मतलब ये HDMI निकाल बाकी सब निकाल सकते हैं नहीं ये क्या है पैराडाइम शिफ्ट क्या है हां ये इसमें दिखता है माधव व्हाट इज द करेक्शन नो करेक्शन सॉल विकर्म युच्छोद्भिदम कथंचित वन दोनों ही सर मेरी सन्नि में डिटा एक क्या बताया वो इंपॉर्टेंट था तुम ये लेकिन हरि बोल आपने प्रभु को पीछे कर दिया आपने पहले कैसे लेके आए क्या कौन सा पहले हां वही यार वो गलत कर दिया आपने अभी मांगो अभी मांगो इसका एडवांस वर्जन लेके हां एडवांस वर्जन लेके अभी उसमें लाल जाएगा कलर लाल कलर हां वो आएगा वो लिखने से नहीं वो देखने से आएगा ऐसा देखिएगा तो आएगा ऐसा हां लिखना नहीं पड़ेगा क्या क्या आएगा उधर मालूम नहीं प्रभु Because it's not that someone lacks discrimination in other things. अलग-अलग चीजों के प्रति हमको discrimination रहता ही है. I mean, spiritual discrimination. Correct. That's what. The point is, if you have that faith, then faith, in one sense, that you would use that discrimination. Yeah, एक point is I wanted. To say that you mentioned it, but in subtle form. it could be also be directly mentioned. वो जब चार दिख रहे हैं ना, वो activities overlap होता है. तो वर्णाश्रम और भक्ति में activity wise there is lot of overlap, but motivation wise there is no overlap. Like,
no overlap. Correct, correct, correct.
वो जब वो that is the paradigm shift. Like, yeah. I mean, you mentioned that indirectly.
धर्म से संकल्प अधर्म से
what his motivation is totally
different.
वो सीट सद्दा का सीट ही अलग है उसका.
It's a completely different whole thing.
तो सरी जो गणप्रो ऐसा मार्केट इन इस लेक्चर एग्जांपल ऑफ साक्षी के तौर why first time is coming in CC it's seemingly a marriage event karma कांड
से है ना गुलचड़ी
आपके तो आज प्रेम की छड़ी थी आज तो प्रेम की छड़ी थी
अच्छा ऑल फोर पॉइंट्स
वो जबरदस्त है विश्वनाथ ठाकुर का प्रभुपाद का
गैंजेस निकालूं क्या
इवन इवन ना आई वाज थिंकिंग इवन कर्म मिश्र भक्त आल्सो नीड नॉट परफॉर्म एज
आई डिडंट वांट टू मेक इट सो कॉम्प्लिकेटेड
Yeah.
Like Karma Mishra, in terms of he is Anya Bilashita, he has Anya Bilasha, but still he can perform Jnana Karma Dhyana Vritta
Bhakti. Yeah. But you are a Bhakti, you are a Bhakti.
No need to complicate it.
That could be in some other next class. Yeah. Or other some other class.
Huh? Arre, kitna ruka hai yaar, unko prasad lene ho yaar.
Yeah, prasad le liya. Prasad le liya. Prasad le liya.
Mera gaya nahi hai.
Huh?
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you.
Where this sort of class is very much important.
Thank you. I mean, because you were there, I have an opportunity to verify whether my understanding is
correct. Your understanding is what is coming from. All day with
the word. Nay, these are the words. But understanding also is important.
You are already...
They're just playing. But, it's a great service, why? Huh? Because otherwise you'll, you may have a very good lens, but you're keep on like, you know, moving the lens, like, you know, then it won't burn anything. Like, you know? You may also have focus sometimes, but if you keep shifting the focus, like, you know, all that
time. Actually, na, Sachinandan Maharaj, mana siksha verse 2 ka commentary mein.
Na dharmam na dharmam.
Na dharmam na dharmam is mein. He says, he gives the example of, he says, Swarupam Shri Rupam Saganam Iha Tasyagrajam Api. So in that he says, if you want water, you should choose one place, keep digging there. Aisa nahi ki idhar ek 2 meter khoda, are pani nahi hai. Udhar 2 meter khoda, pani nahi hai. To 10 jagah khod liya. Wohi 20 meter ek jagah mein khodta, to ab pani nikal jata. So this parampara little bit.